Last few weeks, I've been coming in with heavy-duty stuff. This morning, not so much. The last service was just refreshing. And so I want to talk to everybody this morning about some Palm Sunday observations. And the old saying is, hindsight is 20/20. And you don't look back like Lot's wife and long for the past, but sometimes it pays to look back and learn. What can history teach me to prepare me, hear me, to move forward more effectively? And what we're going to see in the Palm Sunday story in the Gospels is really some uncanny parallels for us in this day. And so I'm going to read in just a second from two different passages in the Gospel about the same story. But before we do that, everybody look. I want you to just gird yourself up. I want you to just prepare yourself. This is Resurrection Sunday next week. Some people call it Easter. I like to call it Resurrection Sunday. And Friday's a big day. Ron, are there any tickets left for the One Thing for Men Good Friday breakfast? How many tickets do we have available? 15 to 20. How many men are signed up? 355 men going to be in the gym on Friday. So this is a big week. And don't just go into it and go through the motions. It's called Passion Week. In 1987, I studied at the Jerusalem Center for Biblical Studies, and I was there. Holy Week, Passion Week. Jerusalem is different, and it should be really for us too. And I want you to just see, you can Google and see this, but just take note. Holy Week timeline. Palm Sunday. Holy Monday, where Jesus curses the fig tree and turns the tables over in the temple. Holy Tuesday, he evades an ambush. And it's like, no, we're just a couple days early for you to arrest me and try me. The prophecy, he had to be crucified as the Passover lamb. Wednesday, Jesus and the disciples rest, and Judas is figuring out a way to take advantage of his inside position and turn it into some cash. Sad. Monday, Thursday, Jesus is betrayed by Judas and is arrested. In Good Friday, Black Saturday, and then how many of you are thankful it's Friday but Sunday's coming? I mean, thankful for Resurrection Sunday. It's the Super Bowl of our faith, and next week we're going to celebrate here. But this morning I want us to just be refreshed as we take a fresh look at the events of Palm Sunday. So two different gospel recounts of the same story. And I'll tell you why. Luke does not use the word Hosanna. Matthew, Mark, and John, the synoptic gospels, do. But Luke was a historian, educated, and he gave a detailed account, he called it. And there's some things he writes about that aren't in the others. So we're going to bring the collage of these two passages together. Lengthy passage we'll read together. Y'all ready? You see it? So as I read, after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, interesting instructions, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. So many revelations in this. And he would ride that donkey. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Listen, here's the word of the Lord to the disciples about what to say. The word of the Lord to us about what we are to say in a unique, precarious predicament. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say, the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. No surprise. Wow. We can trust God's word. It's just like he said it would be. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked him, why are you untying the colt? They replied, here they are declaring the word of the Lord. The Lord needs it. End of story. I guess the guy just let him take the donkey. Because the word of the Lord said, the Lord needs it. You could just park right there. Just how awesome is that? They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices. Sounds like Restoration Church. Joyfully praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said, though, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. Only two times did he do that. And he said, if you had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another. And here's, they miss their kairos. He said, this will happen because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Matthew recounts the story this way, Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, same story, go to the village ahead of you and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill, ding, 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 what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Uh-oh. They're calling him the Messiah. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It's getting ready to hit the fan. Hosanna in the highest. And make note of this. There is a sermon to preach right here in verse 10. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? When the people of God are shouting praises to God, Jesus enters and stirs the place, and the people say, who is this? The crowds answer, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Now, I know you pastors hate to preach on holiday weekends because it's familiar stories, and everybody quickly goes, all right, I know where he's going. I know what this story is. And you get that Krispy Kreme glaze over your eyes. And you're like, I could preach this in half the time for you, Pastor Chuck. And I know that. But let me challenge you. Let's go there. He's been ministering for 3 years. There's all kinds of rumors and conspiracies about who he is. Every time he does a miracle, it's unorthodox. But the miracles are undeniable. And he upsets the religious people because they're about to lose their corner office at the temple. And their titles being jeopardized, and powerful men don't like to share their glory. And here comes the carpenter's son from Podunkville, and they're shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. What? They're saying he's the Messiah? And this is Palm Sunday. And nobody there in that crowd knew what was going to unfold over the next 8 or 9 days. Some high highs and some low lows. And at the end of all the chaos and confusion, God's greatest miracle is accomplished. And here we sit in 2024. And I wonder, do any of us know what the next 8 or 9 days hold? What the season before us holds? If we did, I guarantee you, We'd be shouting, Hosanna. Some of you need to just shout, Hosanna. Not about Jesus coming in and palm branches and the revelation of who he is, but some of us just need to say Hosanna because the situation we're in. What does Hosanna mean? We'll get to it. Help now. Save me now. Let's practice shouting Hosanna on the count of three. One, two, three.
Hosanna.
That was pretty good. That was a shout. That's awesome. I thought we'd have to do that two or three times. Tap somebody on the shoulder and tell them, you just saved us 45 seconds. That's awesome. Teamwork will do that. Now, three things I want us to just reflect on. Number one, and these are big fat duhs until you really think about them. But number one, the people were praising Jesus, shouting, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name. Hosanna to the Son of David. And it says that because of all the miracles he had done, they were shouting Hosanna with a loud voice. And some of the religious people said, teacher, and just to call him teacher, like, do you mean that? That's a compliment. Are you being sarcastic? Teacher, tell your disciples to be quiet. And the teacher, Jesus says, I can. If they're quiet, the rocks will cry out. Now, Jesus, I don't know that he is metaphorically speaking right here. I think at this moment, if there was no praises being offered up by the humans, I believe the rocks would have started crying out. And if I had been there, the little menace in me, I would have been like, I want to see that. Shh. You know, don't anybody say anything. I want to see the rocks cry out. Because this moment couldn't happen without something. And before you go, rocks don't cry out. Well, the Bible says over and over, God personifies nature. Romans 8:19, we talked about it. All of creation is waiting in eager expectation for the sons, in this case, the Son of God, to be revealed. Isaiah 55 says, when you receive the word and it doesn't go back empty, when you leave it, you're going to see the trees are going to clap their hands for you as you walk along. And I'm sitting here, Mark, you still here? We used to sing a song in the youth group called Ain't No Rock, and it was bluesy. And it was, ain't no rock, key of F, wasn't it? Gonna cry in my place. As long as I'm alive, I'll glorify his holy name. That was Mark's line. That was your line, wasn't it? I bet you could play it right now. And then you get to the chorus, praise his holy name. And this is from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. What do we do? Praise his holy name. Long as I'm alive, I'll glorify his holy name. Y'all got it? And then you get to the second verse. Ain't no bird. Bah! Gonna cry in my place. I lift my voice to glorify his holy name. We got too many white people out here in the suburbs. I'm trying. And then praise, try it with me, his holy name. Long as I'm alive, I'll glorify his holy name. Then it gets to, ain't no tree gonna lift its branches. Lift my hands to glorify his holy name. You over there, Mark? Ain't no tree. Some of y'all want to stand up. You're dying to act like you're in the youth group. I don't have time for it. And then praises. Come on, try it with me. Long as I'm alive, I'll glorify his holy name. One more time. Come on. Praise his holy name. Long as I'm alive, I'll glorify his holy name. The first thing we see is the people are giving him the praise that's due his name. I'm preaching to the choir. We talk about praise a lot. I don't need to belabor this point. But great things happen when people shout praises to the one who can meet their needs. One more time, say Hosanna. Hosanna. The second thing this morning that I want you to pay attention to is prophecies were being fulfilled all over the place. But yet the religious people were doing what they do, just going through the motions. If they had only known the prophecy that was offered up 550 years earlier was being fulfilled right before their eyes. Zechariah 9:9 says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The donkey was significant, as it was customary for a victorious king to ride, to enter a city on a horseback. In times of peace, though, the leader would ride a donkey. And palms were a symbol of triumph in Greco-Roman culture, while the laying of cloaks was performed for many kings, including David. Jesus, at this moment, being heralded as a king, was an insult to the Jews who hated that he was being called their Messiah. And on the other side of the aisle, it was offensive to the Romans who already had Caesar as their king. As a result, the tension and the attention of the local leaders and the praise of the people proved to be a dangerous combination. Both sides of the aisle were upset at what was happening. And yet the people, prophecies are being fulfilled all around them. They're singing two verses out of the Old Testament found in Psalm 118, verse 25 and 6. "Save us now, I pray. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Now listen to me, brothers and sisters. Our next point has to do with the fact that the people weren't prepared for all that was about to unfold. They weren't aware of the fact that prophecies were happening all around them. Really? They had no idea. And if you and I had been there, the tension, the drama, the trauma of this experience, I don't know that we could have anticipated it either. However, hear me, somebody. If you know what the Word of God says about the situation in which you find yourselves, you have a different mindset. If the people could have just realized in surround sound HD full color, God has prophesied in the Old Testament everything that's getting ready to happen. Later that day, Jesus was in the temple, and the children present were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Can you imagine children just caught up, little boys and girls, shouting what they'd seen their parents shout just earlier? And it says verse 16, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they ask him. "Yes." And Jesus says, "Have you never read? Do you not know what the scriptures say from the lips of children and infants? Lord, you have called forth your praise." Now, what's my point right here? As we make observations, what is going on in our world? What's getting ready to happen in the next 8 or 9 days? Next 6 or 7 months? I don't know. But we need to shout Hosanna. Because whatever's getting ready to happen, we're going to probably need some save us now grace. Can I get a witness? And if we'll stay in his word, we'll have a different mindset. Pastor Chuck, are you serious? You're at point number two, and here we are again. Read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible. Why don't you just stand up every Sunday and say, pray, read the Bible, and stay full of the Holy Spirit? You could cut these sermons into 10-minute sermons. I don't know if it would work. People are dismayed. People are stricken with anxiety. And I don't know what's about to happen. I don't pretend to know. But I know the one who is in charge. And I know the one who calls the stars by name. I know the one who told me if I will seek him first and his kingdom and righteousness, everything I need will be added unto me. Even in a COVID world, even in a jacked up democracy, he still reigns. The Lord reigns. Blessed be his name. And he has spoken to us through the prophets. He told us how Jesus would come. He told us he would come from a podunk town. He told us he would have 12 disciples. He told us one of them would betray him. He told us that one would betray him for 30 pieces of silver. He told us how he would die. On and on and on and on, the word tells us. May we in 2024 on this Palm Sunday, not knowing exactly what is coming, may we place our hope and our confidence in Hosanna, and may we stand on the word of God no matter what happens. Come on, somebody, and praise the Lord. Thirdly and finally, the people were not prepared for what was to come. For them, it was the biggest week on the Jewish calendar. It was the biggest holiday. There's no way, it's bigger than Christmas. They were preparing to celebrate the Passover. And for those Jewish people, what a wonderful celebration it was as they reflected on the goodness of God, how he miraculously delivered them from Pharaoh, from Egyptian bondage. And yet, there's things going on that you can't believe. The people in the temple weren't praying to God. The leaders were praying on the people, taking advantage of the worshipers. And Jesus would walk in and turn the tables over in disgust. Because as we talked about a couple weeks ago, the temple was out of order. And yeah, old Judas, old crooked Judas, couldn't believe he was an insider. And he saw an opportunity to make some cash. And Jesus was weeping over the city. The people weren't prepared. It says, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it because they missed their moment. Now, I'm getting ready to take you on a 10-minute journey where you're going to say, is he being serious or not? How many of you know about this solar eclipse that's getting ready to come April 8th, Monday after spring break, April 8th, 2024? How many of you know that the Bible teaches us to look to the heavens for signs that reveal what God is doing or what he's about to do? We got some people going, is our pastor a conspiracy theorist? You ought to know the answer to that already. You shouldn't even be asking yourself. The Magi, Matthew chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says, when they saw the star, there's a lot it says it doesn't say. Did anybody else see it? They rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Luke 21, 11, Jesus talks about the end times. What? Look up. There will be signs in the heavens. Genesis 1:14 said, God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. There's a lot of teaching about the signs God uses to speak to the Jewish people and to Gentiles. It's really pretty remarkable. Psalm 19, verse 1 and 2 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. To who? Us. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. You see, what are signs? Signs that tell you what to do and where to go. You pull into an intersection. How many of you thank God for roundabouts? How many of you have to pray when you get people in front of you in a roundabout who don't know what in that roundabout, how it operates? Yield, stop. Don't go on the red light. Don't turn left. Got to wait. Signs tell you, indicate important knowledge. Jimmy Evans believes that these last three, the two that have happened and the one that's coming, he believes they are a major sign to America. August 21st, 2017, that eclipse was exclusively over America, the continental U.S. only, not out as they usually are. They touched the ocean and then partially touched the U.S. The one in 2017 was rare, as it affected 14 contiguous states. Total eclipse. The last time that happened was on June 8th, 1918. But it wasn't exclusive just to land. The last exclusive one was January 11th, 1880. To have one in 2017 and another in just 7 years, seven, interesting number, is unprecedented. And then to think the one in 2017, are y'all ready? Here we go. Start up the bus. That one was over seven cities named Salem, the city of peace. Jerusalem, in America, seven cities named Salem. The one 2024 is supposed to hit seven cities named Nineveh. I didn't even know America had seven states with a city named Nineveh. In fact, there's only seven Ninevehs in the U.S. Texas, Missouri, Ohio, Indiana, Virginia, Pennsylvania, New York. Nineveh, America. Can you imagine pastoring the Nineveh Church of God and preaching on Jonah? But what about Nineveh? Jonah didn't want to go because the people were so evil, and racially he couldn't stand them for what they had done to his people. He gets swallowed by a well, then he goes and preaches, and he's mad at God because they repent and turn to him. And there is 30 minutes just to unpack of what Jesus said about the sign of Jonah. It's incredible to think about it. And the king of Nineveh called a fast, 40 days. Can you imagine? And to think that this one that's going to hit April 8th, the first city it hits in the U.S. is Eagle Pass, Texas, which is ground zero for the immigration crisis. And 40 days after it hits is May 18th. International Astronomy Day. There's a big difference in astronomy and astrology. And the next day after that is Pentecost Sunday. Pretty incredible. I'm not making any comments. Everybody just look straight ahead. And then the other eclipse that hit last year, October 14th, 2023. And the different letters that they are, one formed the Hebrew letter Alpha, and this one, Omega. You can't make this stuff up. There are hours of this from reputable people, not little old ladies in North Georgia trying to get some conviction to get their grandchildren to come back to Jesus. Like, there are respectable people and presented in a way that's not cuckoo. It goes on and on. The one that hit in 2017, the first city it hit is Donald, Oregon. Look straight ahead, everybody. He became president that year. He was 70 years old. It had been 70 years since the UN had decreed to establish Israel as a nation. And Donald, or is a suburb of Salem, City of Peace. And then that president would announce on December 6, 2017, something no president would declare while in office, that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. That was a big move, regardless of what you think about it. Then he opened the embassy there in May on a significant date of 2018. And I'm like you. You can call this a coincidence. And what's my point? Pastor Chuck, do you believe this stuff? That's not the point. The point is, are you paying attention? Because if you go, Pastor Chuck, please don't tell us. The parallels get stupid. Where they cross is a place called New Egypt. There's things that are connected to leaders right now. And you go, come on. And wouldn't it be just like the devil in this COVID world where everybody's going, don't be the crazy pastor. Don't be the crazy televangelist. That God's giving us signs that are so obvious. The point isn't, do you believe all this stuff? The point is, are you paying attention? Did you hear what I just said? Because you could easily go, honey, if he prays, let's go for the door. But before you rush out or call the elders to get me evaluated, let me remind you, this whole thing started from a God who spoke and said, let there be, and boom. And then he started a whole race of people that he would show the world how much he loved through a 90-year-old woman who had never had a baby, and she was waddling with the promise. And before you go, you spirit-filled people are a little bit toasty. Let me remind you, Moses, one of the greatest leaders we all revere, heard God speaking to him through a burning bush. Y'all out there. And one of the greatest leaders that we still revere, Joshua, his strategy was, we're not going to fight. We're just going to march around, pray, and shout. And the Lord's going to give us a city. That baby that was born and crucified, you know, he came forth from a virgin. That's the one we worship in this church. When he died, between two criminals, one of them said, hey, would you put in a good word for me? And that afternoon, he got to go to heaven. Next week, we'll talk about it. People that died just before that, who knew that criminal, were in heaven. When he got there, they had to be going, what in the world are you doing here? And all he could do is say, that guy in the middle told me I could come. Saul of Tarsus, terrorizing the church. Scaring everybody, killing Christians left and right, gets knocked off his horse. And then God calls a disciple, I want you to go and minister to him. And he somehow fills the eye with the Spirit, and he goes. And then Saul writes 2/3 of the New Testament. And you've probably seen the memes. Saul's going to be in heaven with some people, Christians, he killed. So, on Palm Sunday, as we shout, Hosanna, are your eyes open to the prophecies that are being fulfilled all around us so that we can be prepared for what's to come. Now, if you ask me, Pastor Chuck, you sound like you know what's coming. Let me be clear, I don't. That's why I'm going to shout, Hosanna. Save us from whatever is coming. Are y'all out there? This stuff works. And some of y'all are still, I'm still not sure if you believe all the stuff you said. That's not the point. The point is, God is moving in your life. Do you see it? Do you hear it? Everybody, can you personalize what I'm saying right now? I wish I could line you up, each one of you, and just ask you. victor. What y'all are going through, he's working. It may not look, it might look like Good Friday, dark Saturday. Sunday's coming. Do you see it? All the stuff, and it's a long list, the Ramses have been and are going through. Can I hear him? I sense him in this room right now. This past week, I went, and many of you know, I had the privilege of speaking at the Georgia Senate. I'd never done anything like that. And that's an intimidating place, and I ask you to pray, and I know many of you are praying. I know it because of what happened when I got in the room. It's a very intimidating atmosphere. It's the Georgia Senate. They sent me the guidelines of what I can and cannot say. And all the way down, I just prayed in the Spirit. And I was prepared. If I have to stay vanilla and keep it simple, I'll do that. But if I feel the Lord, I got a way I'm going to go, and I'm going to apply a little pressure. And I had prayed, Lord, I don't need to spend my whole morning as chaplain of the Senate to just go down here and be a talking head. And when I got there, they introduced me, and I stood up, and I began to talk to them about Kronos time and Kairos time. And I asked them, and I began to look those senators in the eye, and I told many people, I felt like on Wednesday morning, like what I feel like on Sunday morning. And I began to look in their eyes, and I said, do you know how to tell what time it is? I said, Kronos is seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks. It's tick tock, tick tock. It's the measurement of time, and most people live their life in a monotonous tick tock world, no pun intended. And I said to them, what we need right now is not for you to go through the motions. The people in Georgia are praying up in North Fulton that you will know how to tell the time, and that you will know what to do, and that you'll have the courage to do it. And I'm telling you, I started getting an amen or two. I'm serious. And all I needed was one or two amens, and all of a sudden, I'm serious. Listen to this. So I would say the ancient scriptures say, when the fullness of time had come, and there are a couple black senators, God sent his son. I'm saying it, and they're finishing it. Then I said, there was a young lady named Esther. Her people were in a desperate place like us in America. She had a relative come and say, let's take advantage of this time. Who knows? God might help us. He might have brought you here. And then all of a sudden, there are a few of them going, for such a time as this, I had to pull myself back. I'm serious. I thought, oh, Lord, here we go. And I said, there were leaders, sons of Issachar. The Bible says they understood the time, knew what to do, and did it. You know what was amazing? The chambers, the senators were down here in the chambers. You couldn't get in. There were people waiting. Spelman College was honoring their current president, and they had a couple hundred, I don't know what the number was, of alumni. Well, female, people of color, not traditionally conservative down at Spelman, but they had a couple sisters in the balcony. Uh-huh. He's right. The Lord came in there. They began to ask two of the people from our church, where's your church? What time are the services? So they may be here right now or watching us online. The lady who guards the door at the top talked about she has never experienced the presence of the Lord in that place like she did then. Listen to me. Listen. I don't want to overstate it, but I'll tell you, it was 100 times more than anything I had hoped for or prayed for. I couldn't believe it. I told Candace on my way home, I said, honey, the thing I'm most encouraged by is there are people everywhere waiting for somebody to say it like it needs to be said in the halls of the state capitol. That thing got posted, they gave me 5 minutes, but I got a couple amens and I went 12 minutes, but they didn't shut me down. They posted that little clip of the video and on our denominational ministers page. Friday, they started running commercials on it. That thing got monetized. Help us spread it and share it. We might pay for our gym back here through the Georgia State Capitol sermon that got preached. Isn't that awesome? I talked to them. Do you know how to tell the time? People who survive crazy times, people who prosper and flourish, have to make it through some difficult times. And they do it by shouting Hosanna. They do it by recognizing prophecies being fulfilled. I know how this ends. And instead of not being prepared for what's to come, they are prepared for what's to come. I declare over every person here a spiritual alertness like you've never known, that God's going to be so personable and real, and that you're going to receive encouragement, insight, instruction. I feel the Holy Spirit welling up within me. Somebody needs to hear me. Don't just hear those Jewish people going, Hosanna to the Son of David. The Lord's saying for you, shout Hosanna over your bleak, hopeless situation. Save us now, oh God. Let's say it again as the musicians and singers come to lead us in a song. Could we stand and one more time raise our voices? Are you picking up what I'm putting down this morning? Hey, I didn't tell the first service this. I wasn't warmed up yet. But the tide is turning. Dr. Phil, you know, I've poked fun at Oprah, Dr. Phil, TED Talks. I've said, we don't do Oprah, Dr. Phil, TED Talks. Do you know in January, he quit his big deal with the networks because he was starting to see things and say things that they started canceling him. He said, just go ahead and cancel me. He's opened up. He moved to Dallas, Texas. In January, he was in Gateway Church, Robert Morris, a spirit-filled church, and said, I want you to know what the Lord's done. Brought me to Dallas-Fort Worth, my whole team. They're building a studio. I believe in Jesus, the death on the cross, burial, resurrection, Holy Spirit, Dr. Phil. And his new channel is called Merit Street Media. Merit, because he says only the truth is merited to be spoken right. It's a remarkable story. Dr. Phil in a spirit-filled church. Now I might be saying, we don't do Oprah and we don't do TED Talks, but we do Dr. Phil up in here. What if I don't need help getting me pumped up. The tide is turning. People are waking up. Wokeness is hanging by a thread. Bill Maher, I could go on and on if you're paying attention. If Fox is your gospel, or CNN, or the AJC, you're not going to know what to shout. You're just going to be mad all the time and hopeless. God is on the move. He is on. I'm so glad to be alive right now. We're getting ready to see the greatest revival our world has ever known. What if America becomes a modern-day Nineveh? What if all God's waiting for is for the Jonas to stand up and preach the gospel and not go the other way? Oh, man, Y'all, somebody unplug me. I'm going to go 30 more minutes. All right, we're getting ready to sing an old song, Paul Baloche, Hosanna. It's a great song. We were so refreshed in the first service. Let's sing it again. We magnify you, Jesus. Think about these lyrics and sing to the Lord.
Here we go.
Praise is rising. Eyes are turning to you. We turn to you. You believe it? When we see you, we find strength to face the day. And in your presence, all my fears are washed away. Washed away. Together.
Hear the sound of hearts returning to you. We turn to you.
We turn to you.
When we see you, we find strength to face the day. And in your presence,
come on, all fears washed away. Woo!
Washed away.
Declare it.
And in your presence, all our fears are washed away. Washed away. Because when we see you, we find strength to face the day. And in your presence, all our fears.
Come on, let your fear be washed away this morning. Shout it out. Hosanna.
Come on, be encouraged in the Lord. The Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad and the people rejoice. glory to your name. One more time. Hosanna, say it. Yes, Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you. May he lift his countenance upon you. And in this hour of human history, may he give you his eternal, everlasting peace that passes all understanding. And guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Say it out. I receive it. Bless you, everybody. Have a great afternoon. 'Cause when we see you.